This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Troy Antic. The Weekend of Knowledge Evolution is happening on the 7th and 8th of July. It aims to create awareness and public discourse on important issues of our time through student debates and panel discussions. Here with me in the studio is Mifsan Mohammed, who is the program director. He's here to tell me more about the forum. And joining him is Jun Jabbar from UNDP Malaysia, who will be on the panel to discuss poverty. Mr. Jun, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
So, Ms. Ov, if I can begin with you, why create something like the Weekend of Knowledge Evolution? You are from the Malaysian Institute for Debate and Public Speaking. I believe this is very much something that's initiated by them.
Right. So, what MIDP, their goals are three things. The first is that given the incredible changes in the 21st century with respect to automation, culture, even and affecting so many other dynamics like poverty and how we see poverty and how we help the poor intersects with things like mental health. I think the topic areas that we've selected for the Weekend of Knowledge Evolution are areas that we see as kind of pertinent issues facing the Malaysian public right now in the 21st century. And the three things that we wanted to do were firstly elevate the public discourse surrounding these issues and enrich that public discussion. The second being that we wanted to encourage further participation by the Malaysian public because we feel that there aren't enough avenues for people to either, number one, access the information with respect to these topics, but also engage in a kind of discussion, a conversation, a Q&A, if not with the people leading the charge on these issues. But the last thing is also for them to take this information and apply it to their own lives as well, because given a lot of this information, our information very close to home for people, whether it be how the poor reshape their lives in dealing with things like automation or public policy, and whether you are talking about BRIM or Kosara Hidup, or whether or not you're talking about petrol prices, mental health definitely of how they deal with it in their own lives and where they can seek for help. So we want definitely for people to take that information and see how they can apply it back at home, because we think that's where the change really starts.
Yeah. Who are you expecting for during the weekend? Is it primarily the youth or all segments of society?
Right. So I think primarily we will see a large amount of the crowd being from the youth. So ranging from young working adults, university students to even young adults. But we will definitely see significant presence also of academicians, people from civil society, as well as perhaps policymakers and public officials as well, because I think they'll be very interested to hear what the experts have to say on some of the most important topics that they'll have to legislate or execute on.
Yep. One of the experts that you have is June. You manage the Inclusive Development and Growth Program at UNDP. If I can get you to just maybe elaborate on what is it that you do?
All right, sure. I'll start off with basically like what UNDP has been doing in Malaysia, because I'm not sure whether people are aware that we're here at this point in time. So basically, UNDP, we work in 170 countries. So we help countries to simultaneously reduce poverty and also look at the effects on environmental conservation, sustainable development as well. So these goes hand in hand. But when we narrow down to poverty, we look at achieving sustainable development that looks at issues such as multidimensional poverty index, MPI, inequality, exclusion, and also using the country's natural resources to build the capacity of their country. Now, going back to Malaysia, we've been here for more than 50 years. So we work closely with, as a development partner for the government of Malaysia. So we work closely with the Economic Planning Unit, but now they're known as the Ministry of Economic Affairs. And even our projects, we are guided by a 5-year project document that is hand-in-hand with the technical and development of the Malaysian 5-year development plan. So our 10th cycle now coincides with the 11th Malaysian plan now. So as what do I do as my role in UNDP, I manage a portfolio that looks at promoting inclusivity, leaving no one behind, And this looks particularly at bottom 40. And then if we slice it further, there is the poor, the hardcore poor. And then I also look at issues of aging, elderly, countering violent extremism, gender. And we also look to work more on youth. So we have a lot of youth engagement in our work.
There's so much of this discussion around poverty takes place among those who are privileged, isn't it? Is this something that is productive going forward? Do we need to engage, like what June say, those in the B40, or would a forum like this help kickstart a multiplier effect? You know, you get people talking about it, so then they hopefully will in turn engage or help or do whatever they can.
Right. So both are undoubtedly true. So the first thing that you said is incredibly important, because that's really like the heart of a lot of these issues, is that it takes place in very privileged circles and discussion doesn't translate beyond the Klang Valley to affect people either in Sabah and Sarawak or the rural inlands of Malaysia. And I think this is kind of part of a kind of overall strategy of MIDP to engage the Malaysian public. Needless to say, this isn't going to be the last of the things that we're going to do, and we're also going to engage in more programs, either in Bahasa Malaysia, as well as forums in other areas of Malaysia in order to engage more of the Malaysian public. So no need to worry, we're definitely going to go and engage with people. But on the second bit is that we also believe in that, because it's difficult to deny that a lot of political change starts in the Klang Valley, considering, I think, political power as well as resources are concentrated here. And I think, given that reality, it's incredibly important for us to make those people in the halls of power, in the societies that make the decisions, hyper-aware of the things that are going on in Malaysia. Because if they are going to make the decisions, they're definitely going to need to be informed about the things that are important. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
June, is it challenging to speak about a topic like poverty in such bite-sized format? Because I think you're given like maybe an hour and during a town hall or a forum. What do you try to achieve?
All right. Undeniably, it is difficult to speak such a vast topic within an hour. But I think for this weekend, the focus would be sort of like explaining what poverty is, so that it's easier to understand, so that people can, there's easier to create awareness about it. So people feel that, oh, it's not something that is very foreign to them. You know, like I envision that this weekend would be very much pertaining to the crowd that will be coming, and within the context of let's focus it within the Klang Valley, but we also talk about maybe a little bit of rural poverty as well. Now, the thing about poverty is it's not something which is something that we can separate when we're talking about growing a society, because when we're talking about poverty, there can be people who are in the middle income group, but because of certain things that happen to them, maybe accidents, they got lost their job. By that, they lose their job. By default, they fall into the poor category. So that is something that we're trying to highlight as well. Poverty is not just something that you see within the slums or within the rural areas. It's just in the next door neighbourhood is there. So we want to create that awareness that there is some that you need to be aware of it. There's something you can do. And if you need any understanding, we're there to provide you the answers with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I understand, Mifzal, that before every panel, there's going to be a debate.
Yes.
What will be the motion being debated before June's panel?
So each motion, we will be announcing them much closer to the... keep people in suspense. But right. Just a few details about the exhibition debate and why we're having it. Number one is, the reason why we're having the exhibition debate is because we think, given the perhaps lack of familiarity of the Malaysian public to some of these topics, what Malaysian debating can do, or debating the format can do, is kind of engage the public in a format that is a little bit more exciting and adversarial. I think creating a little bit more interest and priming the public and the audience to kind of be informed about the topic subsequently after that. And it will be participated by Malaysia's best debaters. And these are debaters that ranked at the top of the world, beating universities like Oxford, Harvard, like these traditional Ivy League universities. Malaysian debating has done exceptionally in the last 5 years, last decade. So, like, needless to say, there'll be an extremely high-quality debate of kind of ranging ages of people from foreign graduates as well as local graduates, even some people in schools, our world schools team, Malaysian team, to give you kind of diversity of opinion. We think that will give you kind of a benchmark or baseline of what the Malaysian public knows and thinks about these topics. Mm-hmm. And that will be a kind of interesting point of engagement with the forum as well.
Yeah. So 1 hour of debate and then 1 hour of forum?
It'll be about 45 minutes or so for the debate. And then there'll be 2 hours and 50 minutes left for the forum. Mm-hmm. We will allocate time at the end of the forum for a Q&A session. How long the Q&A session will be? It depends on the generosity of the panelists.
Right. Okay. I'm speaking today to Ms. Zal Mohammed and June Jabba about the Weekend of Knowledge Evolution. After a break, more about B40 and poverty in Malaysia. BFM 89.9. Welcome back. You're listening to Live and Learn. I'm Chua Antik. In the studio with me are Mifsa Mohammed, who is putting together the lineup of debates and discussion during the Weekend of Knowledge Evolution. Also here is a speaker who will be at the forum, June Jabba from UNDP Malaysia. She manages the Inclusive Development and Growth Program at UNDP. June, you alluded to the fact earlier that it's such a complex topic. People don't know what poverty actually means sometimes when they talk about it, something that is maybe abstract. Are you happy with the definition that we have of poverty in Malaysia? Because I think that is objective, isn't it? Everyone, once you tell them what the threshold is of poverty, they can understand that.
Yes.
But is that an accurate depiction of poverty in Malaysia?
All right. Right. So right now, we are still using the threshold of absolute poverty. In my opinion, we prefer to use relative poverty simply because, I'll just give a brief explanation of both. So absolute poverty is what we, in layman's term, we tend to call it like survival threshold for poverty. So we include things like basic necessities like food, health, shelter. However, it is just a threshold that is the same across all countries. For example, we hear about people living below $1 or $2 a day. But the thing that absolute poverty does maintains is that it is the same across each country. So regardless whether you're in America or in Nigeria or in Malaysia, it's still the same threshold. So it doesn't take into account the environment, the society conditions, the economic conditions that changes within each country per se. Now comes relative poverty measurement. This is a poverty line that is, it follows the mean income of the lower income group. Now usually it's about 50 to 60% that is put against the income of the lower half. If it goes up, this one goes up as well. So it gives a good indication because it takes into account the economic conditions, society, the needs of the people at the lower income. And also, like, moving forward is into developed countries. Malaysia, we should be actually measuring it, relative poverty against countries at the same standards like OECD countries. And also another layer of that, we are looking at MPI, which is Multidimensional Poverty Index, which not only looks at income, but looks at deprivations at every level. So whether you get to go to school, how far is school from your house, whether you get healthcare, whether you get social protection. So that's how we feel that poverty should be looked at.
Mifsa, is this why you wanted to include poverty as one of the topics that you wanted to discuss? It's titled, What Do We Know About Poverty? Is it because you suspect many people don't know what poverty is?
Absolutely. I think, to me personally, I think early on what June just talked about hit the nail on the head about we view poverty as something that's distant, something that's happening to, as you say, somebody else and not to us, something that happens in this imaginary place we call rural Malaysia. But never imagining that it's right next door, it's our neighbor, it's a community right in Kuala Lumpur, for example. And I think when somebody, when there are common myths about people of the people in poverty, about people not working hard enough, people being lazy, when a lot of the time these are instances of a structural issue of either a significant lack of opportunity, communities that have been decimated as a result of, I don't know, things like automation, government policy that hasn't catered to specific needs, environmental damage, or gendered issues with respect to people not being able to access opportunity. I think there's a whole host of problems that MIDP, as an organization, is kind of aware of, considering that, well, number one, we're made up of people who are interested in these things, but also more importantly, given the activity that we also are part of debating, where people are forced to discuss issues of great importance all the time, whether it be young children to like varsity students, these topics are churned out all the time. We talk about it all the time. I think what occurs to us as MIDP is, well, it's time to take that discussion or that discourse outside the rooms of debating competitions and into public discourse, because I think as much as we talk about change in those classrooms in debating competitions, it would be much would make us feel much better if those change actually happens on the outside.
I think earlier I asked you about to maybe review the motion of what's going to debate, but I realized now that that was a not a good question, because you review the motion because you want to not tell the debaters what's the topic that's going to be debated, right? And so because of that, they are limited to, they're not able to do research about the topic specifically. Mm-hmm. Are they not limited? Is the discussion not limited to just what they are able to come up with on the spot?
So I think there are two things. The first is, usually the debate format would be either 50 minutes or 30 minutes before. I think for the purposes of this forum, we will not be employing the same rules, because we do want to make sure that debaters are informed, especially considering that they'll be in front of experts that they potentially might be asking for jobs from in the future. So we will be giving those topics in advance so that they have time to prepare. But given that it's, I think, 3 weeks or more away from the forum, or about 2 weeks away from the forum, I think somewhere closer to the forum is where we'll be more comfortable giving the topics to them. Mm-hmm. It's also important that we consult with all the members of the panel so that we have a sense of what kind of area of debate do they want to see to prime the audience before we head towards the forum. And that discussion is still underway. So once we have that sorted, we'll definitely be advertising it quite heavily on the MIDP Facebook page, the Woke page, the Weekend page, things like that.
June, Mifzal said one of the myths of poverty is that people are not working hard enough, or that those who are poor are lazy. Whose fault is it then if that's not the reason? Why do poverty exist in Malaysia?
All right. I wouldn't frame it as blaming or having anyone at fault, really. I think, as I mentioned earlier, they're intricate reasons, but they're interconnected. All right, so a lot of questions that people tend to ask is like, is it failed government policies, as the first question? We don't see it as, it's not a question of failed government policies. It's actually a question of whether the policies are still relevant or not in tackling poverty today. What may have worked 50 years ago would not have worked today. Throw in this fourth industrial revolution coming in. Are the policies there strong enough to actually, or viable enough to actually move forward to build people's capacity to actually move forward in this industrial revolution? Now, as the question, like, are people not working hard enough? Sometimes when we're talking about poverty, it's not just about the people, it's the enabling environment that makes people still remain in poverty, or they fall into poverty, or they come out of poverty, but because of losing jobs, for example, they go back into poverty. So it's like a cycle sometimes. So everything is interconnected. But having said that, regardless of how many development plans that Malaysia has, poverty still remains the focus, the primary focus of each development plan that Malaysia has. So, I mean, in saying that, they are working really hard to actually address this. But even now, when you're looking at urban poverty and rural poverty, different mechanisms need to be in place to address it. Mm. So it's about having understanding the cost factor, the pull factor, the push factor, and having relevant policy to actually assist people who are in poverty.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the statistics currently for hardcore poverty is 0.1% in Malaysia. Is that right?
It's about that. Is and right? then 2016, I think it's now 0.4%
right,
for
okay.
poverty. Yeah.
Yeah. And then something like if you make above 6,000 or 8,000 ringgit, you are already in the top 20%.
No, 6,000 to 8,000, you're still in the middle 40.
Middle 40.
I think it's 9,000 and above that pushes you into the top 20.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does that say? Are we an unequal society in terms of wealth distribution?
If we're going by that, yes, we still are. And has there been changes? If I go back as far as 2014, there hasn't been much change in terms of our income distribution. So when we're talking about being unequal society, primarily it's within the income. But what has emerged as well is the uneven income inequality within the same ethnic groups. So we've always read literature that different income groups, that's where the income gaps are, right? Between Chinese, Malay, Indians, and other Burmese Putras and others. So we have this idea that, oh, this certain ethnic group earns more than this certain ethnic group. But now it's within the same ethnic group that has the income inequality that is making the gap wider. Mm-hmm. So I think if we do want to address this, we have to look not only between ethnic gaps, within inter gaps, and also between, I would put it further, even like age group gap as well. Because right now, the way we look at poverty as well, we tend to have a very charity model of lens looking at poverty. But what we need to look is from a developmental lens. So I'll just say very briefly, but we'll talk more at the forum.
Okay. So, the risk of giving too much away. Yeah.
It's just development, meaning we look at the life cycle of a human. From the moment a person is born, children, adulthood, working group, and then as elderly. Every part of this needs to be looked at if we want to address the issue of poverty.
Right.
So, yeah.
Mifzal, you mentioned earlier that Malaysia has done very well in terms of producing top debaters as well as good debating teams. You are yourself a very accomplished debater. Let me just mention some of your resume here.
Oh no.
Widely available online. This is no secret. I'm not revealing any dirty laundry. Your team was ranked second at the World Championships in 2016 and 17. Are you currently the fourth best speaker in the world and highest ever ranked Malaysian?
Yes.
Yeah. So was debating something that you encountered in school, or was it something that you was cultivated in you since you were young?
I encountered it at school, yes. And I dabbled with a little bit in high school. I think but the primary focus of my secondary school life was taekwondo. So quite a...
very confrontational sport. Yeah. You think.
Quite a distance away from debating, I think. Yeah. Not much talking in there. But upon entering university, I found the debating society of my university, the UITM Shah Alam. And I think I immediately fell in love with it. I think as a person, I've always been interested in kind of like talking about big ideas and scrutinizing issues. Kind of the idea of taboo and don't, I was maybe a rebellious kind of, some say disobedient child. Say don't talk about this or don't talk back, and then I'll kind of do it anyway. So the idea of dissent, the idea of discourse, the idea of discussing big ideas and important ideas was always very, very attractive to me. And as a law student, I was educated and rich in one portion of one way. But then debating allowed me to explore a lot more other things, like, for example, economics and, like, philosophy and social policy and gender issues and things like that, which I found thoroughly, just enthralling as a young person in university. Wow, talking as if I'm so old.
So you're a debating veteran.
I should definitely not be around anymore. So definitely, I think that's what carries on that passion. And that's, I think, a lot of the people in the Malaysia Institute for Debate and Public Speaking were either former debaters or were engaged in public speaking at some point with the same level of kind of personal investment in the issues they've talked about.
Yeah. Do you see more debaters coming up in terms of talent and in terms of universities who are allocating funds or resources towards the debating teams?
Absolutely. I think what people are looking for right now is not only people who are kind of people want both the to know what you're talking about. Obviously, I think that goes without saying, but I think the thing that people also look for is the dynamism through which to sift through that information, how to process information, how to put forward that information in a way that kind of creates the effect that you intend, and not just kind of just knowing the issue for the sake of knowing the issue. I think all those components people are becoming increasingly aware of the value of those skills. Probably the most notable one at the moment is YB Syed Saddiq, MP of Muar, former debater and like competitor and friend as well. I think you'll see more debaters come up, not only to be engaged in public service, public office, and also public policy.
Yeah.
Right.
June, are you expecting a very challenging crowd at the forum? Are there going to be taboo questions, as Mifzal said? It's going to be hard hitting. What do you if there's one thing that you can do to I guess impart or let audience during the forum take away, what would it be?
I definitely will face taboo questions. That's something that I cannot avoid. Like we get a lot of difficult questions as well. I think, as Lisa has pointed out, I mean, we have a crowd of not only students, but we have professionals, we have lecturers, we have experts as well. It's quite nervous. but it's something that, you know, like, even as a young person, like, I still take it as a challenge, you know. And we believe that one of the things that I wish to impart, or as UNDP, or even I would, you know, my fellow panelists who are economists as well in Malaysia, firstly, like, we just want to say that economics, poverty, is really not a hard topic, you know. It's not something, if we bring it out, you're going to look at us with an expression,
right,
like, what was going on? Yeah, we really want to have a lot of interactions, because UNDP works at a policy level. Even my fellow panelists, you know, they're researchers. They have all the expertise and they have all the knowledge. And we would love to see more of the younger crowd, students, be more engaged, and we want them to ask questions. Like, I think it's no longer the model of just sitting and listening to what we have to say. If there's anything to challenge us. We're happy to listen, and we're happy to discuss any topics pertaining to poverty. If you ask me suddenly about, I don't know, you ask me about entertainment, probably I'll just sit there. I don't know how to answer that. So, yeah.
Right. Just a little bit on the rest of the panelists that will be joining June on the 7th. We'll be having people can kind of from wide-ranging perspectives, all have been incredibly experienced in development in one way or another. So we have Wan Yashin, a social policy analyst from the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, IDEAS. We have Chris Chung, Deputy Director of Research from Khazanah Research Institute. And we have Mrs. Zamir, co-founder and Managing Director of Teach for Malaysia. So, and obviously June from UNDP, and like obviously kind of a star-studded panel of like people who have been incredibly experienced talking about June. A very, very experienced panel in dealing with the issues of poverty and B40. I think Also, I think a good thing to note is that the panel, and this is what we've been trying to do with all the panels as well, is that these are panels of people who are on the ground, people who have like engaged in the issue and are currently still very actively participating in these issues. And as much as possible, people who are young. And no grudge at all to the elderly, for sure. Their experience is well appreciated. And we have many people who are very experienced on our many other panels. But that younger perspective, I think, is very, very valuable, because I think that will help in keeping in touch with the audience that we will have on those days. Mm.
So the Weekend of Knowledge Evolution is taking place at Taylor's University on July 7th and 8th. All the information is on their Facebook page. Is there any other avenues to reach out to the organizers or for more information?
So we are available on almost all social media platforms. So you can reach us at MIDP Today. We are also on MIDP Today on Instagram. You can reach us on the MIDP Facebook page or the Weekend of Knowledge Evolution Facebook page. So you'll be able to find either the B40 forum that June is part of. We'll also be having a forum on mental health to break the taboo on mental health. We'll be having a forum about art and culture and the fate and the struggle for the soul of Malaysia. And the last thing is with respect to Industrial Revolution 4.0, how do we navigate our way into the future with the changes that come along with the 21st century.
Wonderful, wonderful. Mirza, June, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having
us. Taking
the
time
today.
You've been listening to Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.